direct your attention to the area in front of the scores table.
That's going to not just happen.
Break the basketball over. Why don't you take a moment to recognize your guard, Joey Rose, as a 17th player in program history for a 1,000 career point. Rose received the U.S. Medal in 1966. The Anderson has gained 1,095 points, placing her 9th on 10 scores on a scoring list. Played at Temple Mount and National University of Pennsylvania. 17.17 points. Senior guard from the University of Pennsylvania, Joey Rose.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, we thank you again for joining us this evening, February 3rd. Alongside with Michaelin Austin, I am Chris Zervudis. We apologize for any technical difficulties. It's always a challenge here at the Historic Celestial with the historic telephone systems that they have lined up here on Fletch Row. And if you were expecting to hear the men's broadcast of Yale and Penn, we do apologize. This is women's Ivy League basketball at its best between the 10-9 Yale Bulldogs and the 7-10 Penn Quakers. This evening we just honored, before tip-off, Joey Rose becoming the 17th player in Penn history to score 1,000 points. Currently she stands 9th all-time on that list. Michaela told us last night how difficult it is to become part of that ambitious 1,000 point club, but right now Penn has his sights set on the Yale Bulldogs, who happen to be at the upper tier of the Ivy League, standing at 3-2. Penn, with their win over Brown last night, 66-57. Now stand 2-2, and this is a very pivotal game, to say the least, for both of these teams. Penn, with their win over Brown, 66-57, and Yale losing to Princeton last night, 83-73. Momentum going in the favor of the winner, giving the advantage to them to overtake the teams in the Ivy League that have started to fumble down the standings.
Very interesting. Tonight's matchup is extra special for the reason that you've got 14 at this point, this far into the season, that have a pretty decent record in the Ivy League, 4-0 at the top of 4-0. Yale at 3-2 after the loss to Princeton last night, and Penn moving their way up to 2-2. So at this point, with more than half of every season left, it's anybody's ballgame, no pun intended.
And for extra special reason, that Michaela would have been in attendance anyway, she told me that it's alumni night here at the Palestra.
Indeed. A couple of sore old ladies here.
They did battle earlier tonight.
And we got beat. Yeah, it was kind of a matchup between the younger alumni, so to speak, and a little bit the older alumni, although there's only about 2-year difference, so it was basically Ivy League champs against former Ivy League champs, and we did not prevail,
but
victorious.
The good news of those battered and bruised alumni in attendance is, at halftime, hopefully, we will be joined by
Diana Caramonico, my former teammate. She's a senior when I was a freshman. She's a great player, and I'm sure she'll have some interesting insight into this game as it's getting underway. Monica Meltner looking to tip off against number 5,
Shania Okafor.
Indeed.
No relation to Amet Okafor of the Scarlet Bobcats, and formerly of UConn, but Yale controls the tip-off, and we are underway at the Palestra. Yale Bulldogs running from left to right. Shania Okafor getting from the board, wasting no time. 10 seconds into the game, and it is 2-0 Yale, and Joey Rhodes chalking up a 3. This is her night. We got a 1,000 game ball.
She picked up right where she left off last night with a 22-point performance against the Brown squad.
The Brown Bears.
The Brown Bears, yes.
The Penn Quakers will try to make these Yale Bulldogs look some puppy dogs tonight.
Got the Bears last night and the Bulldogs tonight against the Quakers. Will intellect prevail? I hope it will.
Well, right now it is. 3-2 Penn lead. 30 seconds into the go, and to the game, and Joey Rhodes brings up the ball for Penn in their home white uniforms. 3-7 on this very court. Volunteers driving from the top of the key all the way down the lane. Does not get the running layup to go. Shanae Okafor comes down with the rebound and gives it to the point guard for Yale this evening, Stephanie Marciano. Marciano swings over to the far side left to Jamie Van Horn. Joey Rhodes on her. Erica Davis has it at the top of the key. Very strong looking girl there in Erica Davis. Swings it over to Marciano on the near side right. And a foul is going to be called on Maggie Burgess, who knocks down Maggie Okafor to the floor. And Marciano will inbound on the near side right baseline.
You gotta hope the Sun will not have the same tough luck they had last night with over going into the double bonus with only about 5 minutes left in each half.
Marciano kicks it in, missed layup there, and Okafor comes down with the offensive rebound. Very aggressive front court of the seniors of Okafor and Davis. Okafor has it on the near side right, kicks it out to Marciano for three. She'll do that all day. Marciano drains the three, averaging 7.4 points per game. Marciano, nice outside presence there for Yale. And Van Horn is pressuring Joey Rhodes, meeting her at half court. Volunteers has it on the far side right. Out to the top of the key, Maggie Burgess brings it over to the near side left. Joey Rhodes inside to Lauren Pierce, out to Arka Popovich for three, off the back of the rim, doesn't fall for Arka Popovich, and Van Horn corrals the defensive rebound. Marciano dribbles up the court, kicks it over out to Okafor. Okafor down low to Davis, air balls the layup, but Okafor flies in there, and the senior power forward and center combination of Shanae Okafor, Erica Davis, both averaging close to a double-double with 9 rebounds apiece, 2 block shots. Quite an inside presence of that combination from the seniors.
Indeed.
And Okafor on the defensive end almost steals the pass.
Okafor kind of hobbling around, looking a little bit, got her hands on her hips, but she has not put weight on that right foot. It looks like she may have twisted a little bit. She's got both ankles taped up pretty tightly.
She does not look happy.
No, she doesn't. She has yet to put her weight back down on that right foot. She's hobbling, and now she's got some assistance from her coach. She's throwing her hands down in anguish, and she is down at the end of the bench, very, very upset.
Well, the 6'3 junior replaces her, Sarah McCollum, averaging about 17 minutes per game. She's their sixth woman, to say the least. And Van Horn, with Popovich, has it on the near side right. Good aggressive defense from Popovich. Swings it inside to Erica Davis. And nice inside presence of Erica Davis. Goes up with the left hand over Maggie Burgess. It is 9-3 Yale.
Erica Davis averaging 16.2 points per game on the season.
Nice play by Arka Popovich and Maggie Burgess. A combination of the sophomores hooking up there. Popovich drives to the left side of the lane, kicks it over to a nice bounce pass to Maggie Burgess. Burgess gets fouled and is at the line for one shot to complete this three-point play opportunity. Very nice driving dish by Arka Popovich, the first attempt. The only attempt, up and good. The three-point play completed by Maggie Burgess. Yale leads by 3, 9-6. Just about 3.5 into the game now. Van Horn, again, it's very clear that Yale is trying to get the ball inside to 6'3 Erica Davis. But right now, Marciano has it on the far side left, dribbling around Joey Rhodes. Floater in the lane, no good. And unable to get the defensive rebound, but the entry pass from Van Horn is tipped by Maggie Burgess, and Joey Rhodes comes away with it. Over to Popovich, kicks it out to Carrie Beamer for 12.
And it's a tippy throw on the line.
Carrie Beamer loves that outside jumper, and she drains it there, gets on the board. Beamer in for Monica Naltner, giving her an early rest. So 1-point lead, 9-8. Yale over Penn, and rising up the three-pointer is Melissa Colburn.
Melissa Colburn comes right back to that three-point play with bringing her team back up to 4 at 8-12. 15 minutes left to play in the first half.
Colburn had a 20-point game against Massachusetts, and on the offensive end, Carrie Beamer driving with the left hand. And McCullough, and goes all the way in, up with the left hand, and good, so 12-10.
Carrie Beamer making her presence felt instantly with 5 points in only for about a minute and a half of this game.
She's in for Monica Naltner. She knows what role she has to fill. Big shoes to fill in that case. And Maggie Burgess, nice pressure defense on Erica Davis, has nowhere to go with the ball. And looking to check in for Yale is Alexandra Chen. 6'1" junior. So a lot of height on this Yale team as Marciano misses the long three from the near side right corner. Isaac Popovich bounce pass up the court to Lauren Pierce on the far side right, trying to get it in to Maggie Burgess, but she drives the lane. Joey Rhodes open for three on the near side left. Air ball. A little strong on that attempt. And Joey Rhodes turns it back to guard Marciano. Nice 5-4 guard matchup on Marciano and Joey Rhodes. Finally, Joey Rhodes has someone of her own height that she can guard. And Penn unable to get the defensive rebound yet again. And the combination of Erica Davis and McCollum are crashing the boards.
Senses that they got a little bit of a home court advantage there on two shots that arguably could have been a foul on the shot. Ball bounces off Erica Davis' knee and goes back in Penn's favor as Coach Knapp calls a timeout to corral his team and adjust to the height advantage, I would imagine, that we have to bring on the court right now.
I try to play up the fact that this is such a momentum-swinging game for both teams, Penn trying to continue a winning streak in their winning ways at home, and Yale trying to bounce back from a tough defeat in the Ivy League as they're carrying off Shania Okafor. That is such a tough break for the 10-9 Yale Bulldogs. Shania Okafor, 11 points per game, leading the team in rebounds, 9.5 per game, leading the team in block shots. Tough inside presence. The 5'10 senior is truly going to be missed as they take her back in the locker room. But both teams clicking on the offensive end, they know the significance of this game. They know that the alumni are in attendance, and they have to put on a good show for them. It is 12-10, Yale leading by two. About 14 minutes left in the first half.
With your team, I'm really excited. I don't think it's been a long time since I've seen stats like this in the starting lineup. You've got 7.4 points average, 10.8, 15.2, 7.4, and 10.8. I mean, outside of Erica Davis, who added 15.2, that's about an average scoring of 10 points from your starting lineup. That's an instant 50 points in the game. Penn, on the other hand, as we mentioned last night, has a lot of their offense going through number 11, Joey Rhodes, and number 42, Monica Maltner, making up generally about 60% of the team's points.
Well, Yale, out of that timeout, is going to a full-court man-to-man press, and Ankel Popovich looking to bring the ball up on the much taller McCollum. Running the point for Penn is Popovich, still in the game. Kelly Scott hasn't made an appearance yet. Popovich has it on the near side left, driving in with the left hand. Bounce pass over to Pierce, kicked it out to Naltner. Long two, but misses. Beamer comes away with the offensive rebound, kicked it out to Naltner. Naltner fakes from the same spot for three, kicked it out to Popovich. This is for three, rolls in and out, and it's corralled by Alexander Chen. And Marciano brings it up for Yale. Penn still in a man-to-man defense here. Van Horn has it at the top of the key. Kicks it down low to McCollum. Kicks it back out to Marciano. McCollum sets the screen. Popovich goes under the screen, and Marciano misses the long two. Naltner comes down with a defensive rebound. Kicks it over to Joey Rhodes. She pushes it up the floor. Naltner has it at the top of the key for three. Down it goes. Nothing but the bottom of the net for Monica Naltner.
Excellent movement
from beyond the arc is Naltner.
Excellent movement by Penn. They push the ball off the court. They kick it right back out and bring them into their first lead of the game at 13-12.
Ashley Gray looking to check in for Penn. Van Horn has it. Maybe he picked up the pivot foot, but no travel called. No freshman happy feet there. So Marciano swings it over to Chen. Chen gives it back to Marciano. Shot clock down at 5. Marciano drives. Shot clock at 2. Off the glass. Air ball. Shot clock violation or out of bounds. Turnover. Either way, it will be 10 ball. And in. Nice job by Carrie Beamer coming off the bench. And Ashley Gray checks in for her.
Excellent job by Penn. Coach Knapp got to be happy with their defense right now. They're not giving up any silly points. They're not making any silly fouls. They're coming under the screen, making a smart move, and they're boxing out just as they should. And they brought down past two rebounds, so they haven't got a whole lot of shots off yet. So
Caitlin Lalomo is on Joey Rhodes, giving her full court pressure as Ashley Gray drives the lane, unable to hit the running left hook. And so Yale coming down the other way. Marciano dishing over to Colburn. She misses the layup, and McCollum goes up for the offensive rebound, but she gets called for the foul. It's her first, the Yale Bulldogs' 13th foul. fill in to that full man-to-man defense. And Erica Davis looking to check in for Yale. The horn blew a little prematurely there. Head coach for Yale, Chris Gobrich, is not too happy about that. As Lauren Pierce flies into the lane, a little fake. She faked it out to Monica Naltner. Didn't give up the ball, and it's called for the offensive foul.
I was going to say that a good move on that, did not go for the fake. Stood her ground and took a legitimate charge. Sometimes that works for Lauren Pierce. It's one of her signature moves that she's developed over the course of her career. And sometimes it works, but in this case, back to the dress that goes for Yale.
That's a 10-second team foul, so no worries in that regard. Lomo has it as a foul on Monica Naltner. Naltner's first. She was in foul trouble last night, but showed that she has the senior composure to play with three fouls and not get into trouble as Marciano, nice entry pass from the baseline to Chen, and it gets knocked out of her hand, so the Bulldogs will look to inbound again.
Chen's doing a very good job of playing help defense right now. They've got a problem average about a 2-inch height deficit on every single one of their players, minus Marciano and Joey Rhodes' matchup.
Ashley Carter, another freshman, checked in for Colburn, and a foul is going to be called on.
Questionable foul. Questionable foul. Gray, considerably larger than Ashley's frame, minus a zero on the number, and Ashley's fighting as hard as she can. She's a tough player, so I don't think I'd have anybody else on her at this point.
There's a lot of banging down low for these girls as that. Nice pass into Erica Davis, but Monica Naltner comes back from the backside and gets the block there, and she gets rewarded on the other side, and there's some senior happy feet as Monica Naltner gets called for an uncharacteristic travel.
Obviously not happy with herself. She conceded that she did not make a good move. Did not set herself and took off for the lane when she should have probably just held it and let the offensive rank. She ran a great defensive play, got the block from behind on Davis without pulling the foul.
So that's why we'll give her the benefit of the doubt. If you make a great play on the defensive end like she did on Erica Davis, then you're allowed to have at least one mistake. Hopefully no more for Monica Naltner.
Well, Chris Knapp's got to be pretty happy about this. This year, Bulldog team, minus one of their strongest players, is still playing very well, very solid offensively. They come in, as I said, each one of their starters averaging around 10 points per game. They are a very solid all-around team. They've got solid bench players. And Penn stepping up, and they're holding them 13-12 with 8 minutes left to go in this half.
And going through and looking at Yale's past victory, it's not only that Yale is scoring above average offensive production, about 70 points per game, 65 to 70 points per game, but their margin of victory is quite large. We can see Shania Okafor hopping back to the bench from the locker room. Does not seem like she's going to be able to come back, at least from the way she's jumping around and not putting any pressure on that right foot tonight. So it's going to be up to Erica Davis inside, along with Sarah McCollum.
The two twin towers.
So there's 6'3", 2 or 3, 6'3" players on this Yale Bulldog team, and action resumes. Lomo has it on the near side right. Aka Popovich still in the game, guarding her. Ball swings around the horn. Chen has it at the top of the key, gets a little bit too high, goes over her head. Shot clock winding down as Yale regroups on the opposite end. Marciano tries to skip a few players and get back over to Lomo in the far side left corner, but Lauren Pierce flies over and deflects it. So with 8 seconds on the shot clock, Yale will inbound on the far side left sideline. Marciano looking to get it into Davis. Shot clock at 5. Marciano looks up at the clock, kicks it out to Carter. Carter takes the shot with the shot clock going off. Misses. Erica Davis comes down with the offensive rebound.
Yale fouls on the 5.
She knocks over Ashley Gray, so it's an offensive foul on Erica Davis. Coach Knapp got to be happy about that.
Excellent. Ashley Gray is playing very, very solid defense against a much bigger number 5, Erica Davis, and she's holding her ground, drawing the offensive foul, and playing very good all-around defense.
Lauren Pierce has it on the near sideline left. Top of the key, Ashley Gray. Far sideline right, Joey Rose. Lomo on her, and a foul is going to be called on Marciano as both Marciano and Chris Gobrich.
Yale foul on number 3.
Giving the ref an earful on the sideline right here.
Alrighty, it didn't take too long.
Well, Yale, one more foul, and they'll be in the 1-1 penalty. Hopefully, Penn's practice inbounding with Lauren Pierce, and they did. It looks like she got it in quite clearly to Monica Nolten, and Nolten drains the shot from the elbow. 15-12, 3-point lead for Penn over Yale with 10:45 left here in the first half. Maybe Penn switching over to a zone right now.
Yep.
Looks like a 1-3.
Die high shot
from Lolomo. Goes off the back of the rim. Off the hands of Alexandra Chen, and Penn will bring it up the court. Running from right to left. Yale still full court pressure. Not giving Penn anything easy, but Joey Rose's speed, that shouldn't be an issue.
Indeed.
Crosses over to her much favored left hand. Lauren Pierce, Marciano on her, strong pick from Ashley Gray. Pierce has it at the foul line, kicks it out to Rose for 3. Dribbles through the legs, back over to Popovich, far side right corner to Pierce. Shot clock at 7. Pierce still dribbling, gets a pick from Lautner. Lautner has it with Chen on her beyond the arc. Lautner with 1 on the shot clock, goes up with the left hand, hits it a little bit short, goes off the rim, and Chen collects it, and Marciano brings it the other way, from left to right for the Yale Bulldogs. Maybe it's a little bit lack of concentration, seeing how much time's on the shot clock there.
Yes.
The Penn Quakers as Chen swings it over to Carter. Carter looking to get it into Davis, but Davis is not having an easy time with Ashley Gray bumping bodies with her down low. But they try to get it down there anyway, and Erica Davis gets the pass to Marciano above her head with the shot clock winding down at 2, and she goes up. So 15-14, Erica Davis strains another layup inside. Joey Rose gets a pick from Monica Naltner. The top of the key, drives in with the left hand, kicks it out to Pierce, fakes the 3 with a lot of pressure off from Carter. And Ashley Gray comes down with the offensive rebound, and they're going to call a jump ball. So Ashley Gray wanted a foul on Erica Davis. But Maggie Burgess comes in for Ashley Gray, who did a nice job on the defensive end on Erica Carter, but maybe the size difference a little bit too much, about 5 inches. Pierce gets it in to Joey Rose. Joey Rose up with the left hand to the right side off the backboard and lays it in. 17-14, 3-point lead, 9 minutes to go.
Penn was back-to-back points off of their inbound play. I'm sure they took our advice from last night. If they could have heard us. They could have heard us to work on the inbound play.
Well, the size of Maggie Burgess already showing dividends as she deflects a few passes, but Carter drives it in on Lauren Pierce. No good off the front of the rim. 4-on-2 opportunity here. Lauren Pierce dishes it over, a little alley-oop maybe to Anka Popovich, but I don't think she's got the vertical to throw it down.
So not quite, not at 5'6".
It's a turnover and poor transition offense that time, and I'm sure they'll get it next time, and Chris Goldbridge is on the verge of a technical, I must say, but another offensive foul called on Erica Davis, trying to get position on Maggie Burgess.
Yes, the head coach is getting extremely loud, extremely vocal and angry about her senior number 5, Erica Davis, pulling. Now, I believe that's her second personal foul, both off of offensive charges. Although the last one, I have to say, was pretty warranted. She threw that elbow. She's got smaller players working underneath her gut, and she's just thrown the elbow, and it happens to be right in their faces, so it's much easier to pick up.
Well, Maggie Burgess might have thrown the first elbow on Erica Davis, but it's always the second person, the retaliation that gets called for the foul. And there's a makeup call, if I've ever seen one. And Kelly Scott gets called for an offensive foul, and tensions are quite high, both on the Chris Govich and Coach Knapp.
Kelly Scott did kind of dip her shoulder a little bit there into number 4. Melissa Colburn knocked her outside as she's getting ready to rub off the screen.
So Yale is in the penalty, and there's another foul called. Tensions are high, I must say.
Yeah.
You know, we've got quite a few people in attendance tonight. I'd say 3 times the amount from last night.
Oh, yes, definitely.
About 150, 200 people here are yelling at the refs. So tension in the stands, tension on the sidelines, tensions on the court. Tensions are high in this big game as Yale has the ball. 8 minutes left. Penn leads by 3, 17-14. Chen has it on the far side left. Kicks it out to McCollum at the top of the key. Penn has switched back to a man-to-man defense. Alexandra Chen was open on the backdoor cut there, but they sway away from her, and the long attempt from Van Horn is no good. Lauren Pierce gives it over to Monica Nolten at the call, and they call another travel. I'm not sure about that one.
Once again, it's
some very, very, very happy feet for the senior tri captain, Monica Nolten. She gets called for her second travel, and she's over talking to the ref about it right now.
Well, sometimes that's the way it goes as far as the refs are concerned. Last night, a lot of pump fakes going on, no traveling calls made, except tonight. The male component of our three refs this evening seems to be pretty quick to call that as a travel. That, you know, that's a toss-up. Sometimes they do call it, sometimes they don't. But it seems to me once they call one, it's an adjustment you have to make, and you have to keep that in consideration, as Monica now has been called twice to the same exact penalty.
Well, the refs are discussing it right now. I'm sure some of the things they're discussing is how tight they're going to close or call this game, how much physical contact they're going to allow down low with Erica Davis, Ashley Gray, Carrie Beamer, whoever's guarding her, because there's some big girls on the court, 6'3", just strong bodies down low, and hopefully they're discussing that Monica Nolten's judgment is just so quick that it's really not a travel.
Well, I'd argue the first time down, she definitely did have one extra step. This one, a little bit questionable, but as I said before, with certain refs, sometimes you just have to recognize when they're going to call it, make the adjustment, take the shot. Monica can drain that three from the top. It's one of her favorite shots to take. She had the opening and waited for it a little bit too long, pulled the travel.
Well, the biggest disparity in statistics right now is the fact that Yale has had 22 shot attempts to 15 from Penn. Penn has shot around 50%, but the fact that Yale has gotten 7 more shot attempts, you would have to say, if you keep throwing more darts, eventually some are going to land.
They are also at 27.3%. That was 7 minutes and 38 seconds left in this half, whereas Penn, as you said, 46.7%. Things seem to be going in their way. Knock on wood as a Penn grad.
So, Lomo takes the reins of point guard from Marciano right now. Kicks it over to the top of the key, Van Horn. Gets a pick from Chen. Peers on her. Gets another pick and roll from Chen. Just at the top of the key. Colburn driving in on Kelly Scott, and they're going to call a travel on the freshman, Colburn. Authentic freshman, Happy Feet.
Yes.
Fourth or fifth time we made mention of that, but I love that term.
Happy Feet.
McKaylin brought it up in last night's broadcast.
Courtesy of my father.
And finally, Yale has backed off the full court pressure, and Joey Rhodes just got one girl to beat in Lomo, and she gets a pick from Monica Noltner, and she drives in, kicks it out for three from Kelly Scott. Goes a little bit off the mark there, and they're going to call another ticky-tack foul on Lauren Pierce.
Sometimes you just got to say, let them play. I think the refs are getting a little bit too over. Oh, wow, we're already in 1-1 with 7 minutes left to play in the first half.
Yep, both teams are in the penalty.
Both teams in the penalty, yeah. Well, I'd say Yale with one more foul, they will be in the penalty. But right now, Penn is in the penalty.
Yeah, Caitlin Silver checked in for Lauren Pierce. And for Yale, it's 6'2 freshman. Definitely not short on height, the Yale Bulldogs. Haywood Wright checked in for Alexandra Chen, giving her a break. And at the line, 4-2, it's Sarah McCollum. And she hits the first end of the 1-1. McCollum averaging about 5 points and 4 rebounds per game in her 17 minutes.
The Penn band looming in unison to the left doesn't seem to fade the senior.
And so it is 17-16, 1 point lead, 7 minutes to go here in the first half. Close game, big game for both of these teams. It's all Ivy from here on out. No more non-conference games. It's all teams that are very familiar with one another and know quite a bit about each other. As Kelly Scott looks to drive on Colburn, gets it down low to Ashley Gray, adhering to the wishes as McKaylin calling for the inside, but thought they could have called a foul on Haywood, and
I think they
Coach
did.
Gobridge for Yale, her meter of frustration is going through the roof right now.
Flabbergasted, her jewelry askew on her two-piece suit there.
Ashley Gray gets it in for Caitlin Slover. Coach Knapp calls for to take her. It's nice backdoor pass from Caitlin Slover to Joey Rhodes. Can't make good on the layup, but Ashley Gray gets the offensive rebound and puts it up for the easy two, 19-16, 3-point lead, 6 minutes to go, as the senior point guard, or the junior point guard for Yale looks to set back in, and it's a 3-point attempt from Jamie Van Horn. She's 40% from beyond the arc, so
pretty impressive stat.
Very characteristic, as Caitlin Slover does a nice turnaround move in the lane, but a little strong with the left-handed layup, and it's a tie game, 19-19, with that last three-pointer from Van Horn. And Van Horn driving the lane this time, looking for the contact, can't get it. Caitlin Slover comes away with the defensive rebound. Joey Rhodes finds a wide-open Kelly Scott, fakes for three, takes a step in, still a little bit too strong off the mark. Kelly Scott, after a great night last night, 13 points, 3 for 5 from beyond the arc, just can't find the mark tonight. And Yale runs the other way, tie game still, 5:30 remaining. Haywood has it, Haywood right rather, has it at the top of the key, kicks it down low to Colburn, and finally gets the contact that she's been searching for from Caitlin Slover.
As you said, Kelly Scott came off a great night last night. I think her issue right now is she's not looking for her shot. She's getting the pump fake. She's done it twice now off the pull-up dribble pull-up shot, and it seems to be wide right. She's not setting herself, and she's leaning when she's shooting it. She needs to get a solid shot in, take it when it's open, and then take it from there.
Well, my favorite matchup that I'm going to keep an eye on is what just happened. Is once Coach Govrich checked in Erica Davis for Yale, Coach Knapp immediately brings in Maggie Burgess. The two biggest girls on both teams, as Joey Rhodes finds it open, Ashley Gay for three. She flies past Erica Davis, showing the speed. Maggie Burgess gets the offensive rebound, unable to make good on that second chance opportunity. It's Maggie Burgess and Erica Davis do battle once again, and Davis gets the better of that matchup.
Ashley Gray comes over to help on the defense, but Erica Davis doing a good job keeping the ball above her head and just puts it in for an easy two.
To no avail, and they continue on this side as Caitlin Slover finds Maggie Burgess. Burgess out to Joey Rhodes, sets the screen for her on the far side right. Another screen as Joey Rhodes goes into the lane, up with the left hand, and good for the 10-point jump shot, straight on, 21-21, we're all knotted up. Good game we have going here live at the Pleasure. If you're just tuning in to PennAthletics.com via audio or visual, we thank you. Along with McKaylin Austin, I'm Chris Abrutis. We have 4 minutes left here in the first half. Tie game 21-21. Erica Davis down low with Maggie Burgess and Ashley Gray on her, and they call a foul to the much-pleased Coach Govrich of Yale.
They're doing a good job, I think, with help defense. As we mentioned, Erica Davis, a dominant presence down low, has at least 2 inches over any of Penn's forwards, and I'd say a good 40 pounds on any of them as well, and they're doubling down with Maggie Burgess and Ashley Gray every time she gets the ball.
Erica Davis' role has dramatically increased in this game as Shanae Okafor got hurt 5 minutes into the game, rolled the right ankle, and Erica Davis misses the first free throw attempt. The Penn band doing its best to sway the second attempt, but to no avail. Erica Davis makes good, 1-for-2 from the line, and Yale takes the 1-point lead. Back into a full court man-to-man press. Kelly Scott hides it, trying to get past Colburn. Some nifty dribbling moves, but gives it to Joey Rhodes to use her quickness and gets it over into the front court. And Coach Knapp calls a timeout. Coach Knapp definitely didn't want to wait for the media timeout. Maybe 4 more seconds they would have called a timeout in the next stoppage of play. But
not
he wants
quite
to talk
sure
it
about
over.
That one. A little bit of a repeat of earlier in the football season when Coach Andy Reid called timeout with about.
I believe that was Jeff
Garcia.
Yes, three.
That's right. That's how it was, Jeff Garcia. 3 seconds short of the 2-minute warning. Coach Knapp doing a little bit same now.
And I guess you can compare Andy Reid and Joey Rhodes very similar in that they keep their emotions to themselves. But that was the one time in the Eagles season that you saw Andy Reid get real fired up. But
yes, we'll not very happy with his veteran quarterback.
We'll leave the football talk to
indeed
for
indeed.
Next season with Governor Ed Rendell and Michael Barkhead. And right now, live at the Pleasure, 22-21, 1-point Yale Bulldog lead over the Penn Quakers with 4 minutes to go. Lauren Shear is inbounding right in front of us on the near sideline left. Penn doing a much better job than they did last night. It's Katarina Lackner checks in for the first time this evening for Maggie Burgess, and they call a foul.
Oh, we're talking about football here. The refs playing this like it were a football game, calling just about everything. Everything short of touching somebody with a finger. Carolina Lackner set a good screen. Maybe got her elbow up a little bit. Was not even in any clearing distance of the defense, and they still called it.
And here is that aforementioned media timeout that Coach Knapp didn't want to wait for. So we take a break in the action. Katarina Lackner in for about 30 seconds and gets called for the quick foul. But it's on the offensive end, so we won't be shooting 1-1. 1 point lead for Yale.
And already in the double bonus with over 10 fouls. 4 minutes left to play. Yale with 6. It's been a very physical game, but I think a little bit of it belies the truth. I believe the Nets are rather tight on their calls tonight. A lot of happy feet calls, as I say. A lot of offensive fouls as well.
And if you didn't know from our pregame announcement, joining us at halftime, hopefully, is
Diana Caramonica.
There you go. Maybe Mikaelin Austin will be so kind as to do an interview with her former teammate.
Sure thing. I'd be happy to.
Get Diana's perspective on tonight's game and the season thus far for the Penn Quakers. They're 2-2 in the Ivy League. This is the fifth Ivy League matchup of the season for the Penn Quakers. Looking to get things moving in the right direction for them. Coming out of the media timeout.
Just getting an update on the men's game for all of you who might be interested. It is 60-46, Yale ahead by 14 points.
A little bit of an upset there, and I'm sure if the Penn women win this game, it'll be considered an upset, and here we go, trading fouls.
Right out of the timeout, I'm sure Coach Knapp addressed the tight calling of the refs, and I would imagine the Yale coach did as well. Not to much avail as Yale pulls yet another foul to push them up to 7 ahead.
So 3:40 left in the first half. Joey Rhodes.
The men's game there, 9:56 minutes left in the second half, 60-46.
A lot of movement on the offensive end, always good to see. The legs so fresh after coming back. It's Katarina Lackner. Gives it over to Kelly Scott at the top of the key. 5 on the shot clock. 3 gets fouled and 1. Very nicely done by Kelly Scott and Coach Gobis for Yale.
Coach Gobis is not happy at all, and I don't blame her. That was a very bad call on the ref's part. Kelly Scott made a nice drive, but that foul well beyond her shot. Drove it another 2 dribbles into the key and put the layup up, and they gave her the and-one.
Nevertheless, Kelly Scott is unable to complete the 3-point play. And the ref just gave Coach Gobrich a first warning, so she continues to be frustrated and yelling in the ref's face. I'd imagine we might see our first technical. I've been waiting so eagerly to see as Monica Naltner drains the 3 from Joey Rhodes. What a shot, Monica Naltner. Well beyond the 3-point arc.
That was good. She did not do the clutch fake, or she did not need to do the clutch fake, and she nailed it.
Didn't want to get called for traveling,
nope.
So she just decides to pull up and shoot it. And here's another foul away from the play, off the ball.
I just cannot agree with the ref calls right now. Katarina Lackner playing good, solid defense on Erica Davis in the middle, getting bumped pretty far out of the key. There's really not much else you can do other than not playing her at all.
Well, Coach Knapp isn't too fired up about that call. He just wants an explanation of some kind. How can my girl guard her if she can't touch her at all? Erica Davis hits the first of 2 free throws. Penn is in the 2-shot penalty. And with Monica Naltner's 3-point make on the offensive end, Penn is up by 3, 26-23. Erica Davis' second attempt up and good as well. So 2-point lead, 26-24, 2:50 left in the first half. Full court pressure from the Yale Bulldogs. And Sarah McCollum looking to check back in for Yale. Kelly Scott driving with the left hand, picks up the dribble over to Katarina Lackner. Back out to Kelly Scott on the near side left. Monica Naltner looking to check up box, post up Alexander Chen, but Joey Rhodes drives in, floater with the left hand, no good. Lauren Pierce flies in, and they're going to say it went off gears and out of bounds. So out checked Erica Davis. Very surprising that they're checking out Erica Davis. Maybe not wanting her to pick up a cheap foul, as she's going to be very important. And
yes, with one of their 4 out this evening, one of their 5 starters
Shania
out this evening. Erica Davis will become extremely key
absolutely
to the Yale Bulldogs tonight.
Lauren Pierce picks up her first steal, starting right in the passing lane, and she missed the layup this night. As last night on the same exact type of play was a little bit too strong, so redeeming herself from last night's missed open layup. And that's one of the steals that we will see from Lauren Pierce, no doubt. Average 3s per game, leading the team, so I'm sure we'll see that again as McCollum rises up over Katarina Lagner, a little strong inside the paint, so Lauren Pierce comes away with it and finds a cutting Lagner, not so swift of foot, so she gives it over to Joey Rose, and she flies into the lane. She can't get the roll there on this, the night that she was honored for her 1,000th point milestone, ninth all time. Wow.
That's amazing. And you know, our halftime guest, Diana Caramonico, is the all-time leading scorer, both men and women, at the University of Pennsylvania. And her and Joey also went to the same high school. So this should be really interesting to get her insight into the 1,000th point club.
Somewhat suburban local school, Germantown Academy.
Yes, indeed.
And Marciano tries to get it in to McCollum in the post. But it goes out of bounds off Katarina Lackner, who is also checking out for Harry Beamer checking in. And Marciano will check, try to inbound from the far side baseline. She does so right over the head of McCollum with one on the shot clock. Monica Nullner had a back turned, and McCollum able to rise up with one on the shot clock and make good on that attempt. So 28-26, 2-point lead, 1 minute to go.
Yet another foul by the refs tonight, although that was probably quite a bit of a warranted foul.
They call a blocking foul on Stephanie Marciano.
Lauren Pierce.
Point guard, so Lauren Pierce will go to the line to shoot 1-1. 2-point lead for Penn. 1 minute left. First end of the 1-1. It rattles around and down it goes.
Lauren Pierce coming in tonight, coming off of a little tough scoring night last night with only 2 points. She's got 5 now, going for 6. With only in the first half, 1 minute left, she's definitely looking to get back up to her average of 10 points per game. She's already got a couple of steals, quite a few rebounds. Had a pretty good game all around so far.
Well, shooting very nice rotation from the free throw line. 2-2. So we are under a minute. 4-point lead. Quite possibly could have been the largest lead of the game thus far that we've seen. Very close game as Alexandra Chen receives the pass from down on McCollum, and tensions continue as McCollum yelling at the ref for the travel called on her teammate, Alexandra Chen.
And Lauren Pierce with a good play, came to help weak side, got... I was just listening here with Coach Neff, I could hear him right through my... He's yelling real loud.
And the refs go over to the Yale bench and tell Coach Gobridge and all the players on Yale for the girls to be quiet and stop arguing the calls. And the calls continue.
Yeah,
holding call, 5-yard penalty, repeat first down. But with 30 seconds to go, Yale in the penalty, and Monica Naltner will go to the line to shoot
Monica
2.
I don't know how many fouls are out this evening, but this has got to be some kind of a record. I mean,
20 total fouls
in the first half. I mean, this is certainly a physical game, but I don't know if 20 fouls would correctly... show that. It's not been that
good. Well, Monica Naltner, 1-for-2, makes the second attempt, and 5-point lead, 30 seconds to go. Penn should get one more look at this, as the shot clock and difference between the game clock, about 2 seconds. Lauren Pierce deflects the pass, goes to Alexandra Chen, and doesn't receive that much pressure in her face. Misses a shot, and McCollum comes down with the offensive rebound. The shot clock is unplugged.
Get another foul.
Kelly Scott gets called for the foul. 21 total. It's got to be some kind of record. We'll look into that. And they're in a two-shot penalty, as we've mentioned, and McCollum will go to the line to shoot 2.
These guys are really
calling it tight.
Something else this evening as they are turning this first half into what would seem like the end of the game.
Free throw contest, it looks like right now. 20 seconds to go. McCollum makes the first attempt, 31-27, second attempt, nice rotation, gets the roll to go, 3-point lead for Penn, Joey Rhodes bringing it up the court, Ashley Gray checked in, along with Carrie Beamer, so all 3-point shooters on the court except for Ashley Gray, and Joey Rhodes doesn't care about the shot clock difference, and there's going to be another foul called, this time on number 23, Caitlin Lillimo. And Joey Rose will go to the line to shoot 2 as Anka Popovich looking to check probably in for Kelly Scott for defensive purposes. And free throw parade to the free throw line continues.
And all Coach Gobert can do is sit and just look up. As you said earlier, she was warned by the ref to sit down, keep quiet, and stop yelling. Otherwise, she would incur a technical foul. and she seems to be doing that, not very willingly, but she is.
Defensive substitutions of Caitlin Slover and Anka Popovich check in for Lauren Pierce and Kelly Scott as Joey Rose goes 2-for-2 from the line. 11 seconds to go. Lillimo bringing up the ball for Yale. Game clock at 5. Lillimo takes it herself, drains it. The clock is still running for some reason. I don't know why they didn't stop it. Anka Popovich, not aware of how much time is on the clock. Aren't they supposed to stop the clock at the main basket under a minute, or does it continue to run?
You know, that's a good question. I remember when I was in high school, we had a play that still sticks in my mind to this day, where we were down by 2 points and 5 seconds left on the clock. We just scored, and the team we were playing against at the time grabbed the ball, ran out of bounds, and took it, and it ran down. And no, I mean, it was contested, nobody reversed it, so the clock should have been stopped on that, but it wasn't. But, you know, 33-30, I don't think Penn would have had a chance before anyway.
As McKaylin said, 33-30, 3-point lead for Penn over Yale. And as we've mentioned before, Diana Caramonico is here for our halftime interview. She's going to be interviewed by her former teammate, McKaylin Austin. So I will give the headset over to Diana.
We have Diana Caramonico, class of 2001, my former teammate. She was a senior when I was a freshman, so the recently wed Diana Caramonico to former men's star Jeff Owens. How are you doing, Di?
Great, how are you?
First time on the doing one of these things with a headset, I imagine. A little weird. Well, I want to talk to you a little bit about Joey Rose. You just recently joined the 1,000-point club, ninth all-time, your first all-time. You guys are former, well, I wouldn't say former teammates, went to the same high school. What's your perception? I know you never played with her, but as a player, as a Germantown Academy grad, what's your perception of Joey Rose and her impact on his program these last 4 years?
Well, to be honest, I'm so proud that she went to the same high school I did. She's a great guard. I've never seen someone, you know, a point guard of her stature be such a prolific scorer. She's a great teammate. She keeps the floor. She gives the ball to people when they're open. She takes the shots when she's open. And I mean, you really just couldn't ask for a smarter point guard on the floor.
She's a great kid, and she has grown a lot since the years when I came in as a, I guess it's rather ironic that we're sitting here, you were a senior when I was a freshman, Joey was a freshman when I was a senior, and I've seen her grown over the years, and I'm not sure how many games we've been able to see her play, but I'd imagine you'd agree that she has really turned into a more of a point guard than I think she was coming in her freshman year when she had a little trouble speaking up, and it's a little hard to hear things in this building. Do you think that her impact on this, as a marquee point guard of the Ivy League, you're not going to get very many of those 5'7", 5'8", solid point guards that you get in some of the bigger leagues. Can you talk a bit about the game? How do you see Penn continuing what they're doing against a very, very solid Yale team with, as we were talking about earlier, they've got four players on the court right now who average more than 10 points a game. How do you think that Penn can continue to keep up with what they're doing with a 3-point lead right now?
I like what they're doing in terms of limiting the touches of the post player. In terms of, it seems almost like a little bit of a dump defense, a lot of extra help on those big girls inside. And I think that it seems like to have 10 people, or 4 people scoring over 10 points a game, there needs to be a lot of in and out sort of to draw defenders into the lane and then be able to kick it out to your 3-point shooters on the outside, and then similarly to have people pressuring the ball on the outside so that they can kick it in. And Penn's doing a really good job of sort of disrupting that flow so that they're not getting a great flow or rhythm to their offense that sort of, you know, helps us shelter right now. And, you know, I think that if they continue to still annoy them as they have, I think that they're going to do a great job in the second half.
I totally agree. I think they're doing a great job. I think Ashley Gray has been a key to their defense right now. She's come in. She's significantly smaller than number 5, Erica Davis, who is 6'3". I say has a good 40, maybe 50 pounds on Ashley, and Ashley's really using her strength and her legs and her body to her advantage, really giving her a hard time. She's drawn a couple of offensive fouls, is not very happy, showing her anger. Got warned earlier in the game that she needs to sit down if she's going to get a technical. But speaking of technicals, and I know you can probably remember this, do you remember my freshman year, would have been your senior year, Coach Greenberg, I believe got thrown out of at least one game that year.
She got thrown out of a game because I went to the basket and I airballed. I posted up and Aaron gave me a great pass. and I went to the basket and I airballed the shot because I got like killed and thrown to the floor. And Coach Thunberg went, she already had one touching goal that game, and she went absolutely ballistic and said to the ref that he should know that I wouldn't airball a shot on my own, and said something else derogatory, and then she was thrown out.
That was it. I believe we won that game, though,
we
didn't
we? We actually were down 5 when she got thrown out, and we came back and won.
That was one heck of a year. We, as I see some of our other teammates, Jen Jones in attendance, Tara Toomey, recently married to Matt Langle. Another basketball matchup in the city of Philadelphia seems to be pretty common, as you are, you have added yourself and Jeff Owens to that crew. Just talk a bit about basketball in Philadelphia. You've lived here your entire life. I've been working on a documentary and I've learned a lot about the nature of this city and how much college basketball means to it. You're now a coach at
Penn Charter.
What does it mean? I know from the, as far as the history of the city is concerned, a lot of emphasis is placed on the men's, but I know there's also a lot of emphasis placed on the men's, on the women's as well. Germantown Academy's been strong throughout the years. I think they've been around since Lincoln was shot, right?
Yeah, well, before that.
Before that. What does it mean to, what do you think college basketball, men's, women's, all around, high school, college, what does it mean to this city, and what does it mean to be a part of that?
Well, it was just such a great experience. There's so many opportunities growing up here to play. There's like a zillion summer leagues and AAU programs, and it's when you get up into, you know, high school and college, there's so many opportunities of good basketball programs. I mean, we have 6 really good Division I schools within 20 minutes of each other in the city, and then countless Division II and III programs that, you know, are equally good in their own respect. You just can't find a better place. I remember being in college, and I mean, obviously, I was playing in the Philly Summer League, the Philly Rec Summer League, which is always a great summer league to play in. You have a lot of good talent, and old and young. And I remember some of our teammates going home for the summer, not being able to find one single NCAA sanctioned summer league to play in. So they just had to work out in the gym on their own, or, you know. And the Celestia just sort of sums it all up. It's just a huge collaboration of everything Philadelphia basketball, and it's awesome to just walk around and see all the great people that have played in this building and the history that goes along with it. So I'm so thankful to have grown up here. I don't think that I would be the player I was, you know, in college and overseas had I not come from this area, because I could play any time of the year against anyone I wanted to.
The building is an amazing place. I can certainly attest to that myself. Learn a lot of history about it. I'm actually very happy to hear this. You know, this is the 80th birthday of this building. It was built in 1927. Here we are in 2007. January 1st marked technically the 80th birthday. They had opening night.
The Pretty cool. Have the same birthday.
Really?
Yes.
January 1st.
Yes.
Well, I imagine you were born in 1927.
No.
Well, you'd be carrying your age pretty well.
Yeah.
Same date of birth.
Yes.
Very cool. That's very fitting. You are the leading scorer, men and women. Is that correct?
True.
Do you know your number?
I do. Only because somebody told me recently.
What is it?
It's 2,415.
2,415. That is quite a monument. I don't even want to think of how many points you average. I believe it's around 18 or 19 career?
23.
Yeah, you're right. It was up there.
I don't know. That's what I've been told.
It was a lot. It was a lot. I know you're very...
Counting for 4 years.
You're a very modest person, Di, but you deserve every accolade you've received. And it's very fitting, as you said, your birthday is on the same birthday as the Palestra, obviously about 70 years different. But, let's talk a bit about that, actually. This building has been around for, as we said, 80 years. And for about 50 of it, all the teams in Philadelphia used to play here. Now, 80 years later, there's still that sense of camaraderie, still that sense of sisterhood among players who grew up here. When you went on to play in Europe for a couple of years, did you have a lot of encounters with fellow Philadelphia kids that you grew up on the playgrounds with, grew up in high school with, and played against?
Not a lot, just because each team could only have one or at the most 2 Americans, depending on passports and where your passport was from and all that.
Right.
I did, you know, run into one player from Drexel, Michelle Mazowski. You know, I encountered her a little bit. She played in Luxembourg. I think she's still over there somewhere. But not so much that, but when I was over there and I told my teammates, and even though they're French, every single one of them was French, and I said that I came from Philadelphia, they knew about Allen Iverson and they knew about the Sixers. And, you know, they knew about, you know, different college programs or they'd heard of them. And, you know, somebody coming from, like, Iowa, nobody knows anything about Iowa, right? They just know that Philadelphia, like, well, of course, at the time, you know, we had Iverson and...
Right, now he's in Denver.
...you know, here in their eyes. So that just that, the fact that I came from the same hometown as, you know, Allen Iverson is, like, to them... huge, because they don't understand quite how big the U.S. is and how big cities are, so saying that I'm from the same town as him, like, they think that, you know, I live 10 doors down, but, you know.
Yeah, I don't think you have quite the same background as AI, the answer now in Denver,
right,
with the Nuggets. It'll be interesting to see how well he does. But playing overseas, you know, I know a couple players have gone. I know your husband, I presume, about a year into your marriage now, right?
A little over a year. We were married in August, so.
You had a fun wedding. I was in attendance along with a couple of our other teammates. It was a great wedding at the church. You know, a lot of people get married there. And then we had the reception. I thought it was awesome. You guys had the tables. You know, normally people have a 1, 2, 3, 4. You guys had significant numbers at your tables. Can you talk a little bit about that? Who came up with that idea?
I think I did. Came up with that idea, but some of the numbers we had, like 23 was my basketball number, 51 was Jeff's, and I think like 24-15 was a number, and 159 I think were his number of blocks that he had, and different like dates and different numbers of significance. So, you know, every table, you know, had its own personal significance to our relationship and, you know, our basketball careers at that time.
Did you ever think about getting married in the Palestra?
Actually, I would have kind of liked to. However, it's pretty impractical just because of getting food in here. There's no kitchen or anything, so
no. It's
difficult to clean up. It's difficult to... And then, I don't know if our wedding would have been worthy of the Palestra floor. Also, I felt a little two-storybook.
Well, that's true. Right. You did get married on Penn's campus, though,
yeah,
which is cool. And many have called this place a cathedral, which is fitting. And I know you guys had a pretty traditional religious wedding, and a very gorgeous one. I imagine this could have lived up, but you're right. It's not really fit.
So we are being packed like we actually had to have it in a church. But we were thinking about the reception, and it was just a little impractical, but it would have been nice.
This place is not only known for being a little tough on weddings or anything of the like, but it's also known for being quite a bit tough on sound.
Oh, yeah.
Let's talk a little bit about your experiences or abilities to hear, and we know that the women's games, well, don't never get as large of an attendance as the men's games do, but can talk a little bit about the sound and how hard it is to play here.
Well, if there's 20 people here, it sounds like there's 300 or 600. I was like, you could just whisper in here, something you hear all the way across the gym, just the way the ceiling is, the way things echo. But we had a couple games where, I think you remember, our senior year, when we had packed the Palestra weekend, and, you know, we had never had more than, like, 300 people at a game, and usually most of them were, like, Girl Scouts or little girls or, you know, anyone we could pay to come. But, you know, we're convinced that, you know, they might want to come see some girls basketball. But that weekend, we were in the hunt for the Ivy race. You know, we were undefeated in the Ivy League up to that point. And on Friday night, we had, I think, about 1,000, like 1,100 against Harvard. And that was...
It was unbelievable, wasn't it?
It was so loud. I don't even know how the men do it with the 87.
Not at all.
22 people in here, but it was incredible. I mean, it was so loud. And then the next night, we played Harvard, and we doubled it. We were 2,200, and hearing was just not even an option. I think we came up with hand signals or
coach
just
we
really
did.
Screamed.
I think we did.
Said, but.
And that evening will go down in infamy for all, or will go down as one of our most memorable. I know it is for me, and I was a freshman, it was about 7 years ago, and I still remember just about every minute of it. As Dan Harrell, the Palestra caretaker for many a year, came out with a bucket of brooms as we had swept the Ivy League and put our little notch into the history of the great history that makes up this building.
It was definitely a good night.
So, well, Guy, I'm getting the signal from my play-by-play guy and he wants his headphones back. So thank you very much for joining us. Again, this is Diana Caramonico, class of 2007, the leading point scorer, 2001, 2001 same birthday as the Blesher, fitting interview. Thank you very much for coming over, and we hope that your analysis continues to win us out this game. Thanks,
thanks
guys.
Thanks for having me.
Take care. And I will be handing off back to Chris as we give you some stats for this halftime.
I'd like to thank Diana Caramonico again for joining us for that halftime segment. Always good to see former teammates in chapter of this.
Good times, good old times, good memories. We come from the first of the Penn women ever winning the Ivy League title. We went to the NCAA tournament, didn't win, but had a great time in Texas Tech. And again, repeated my senior year. So she started it, and I ended it, so to speak. And hopefully, in the years to come, we'll have a few more.
Well, we'll give you about a 5-second halftime analysis here. Main difference and main disparity you can see between these two teams is points off turnovers. Penn has 11-2 for Yale. So definitely a big favor in Penn's favor. And for second chance points, Yale is making up for those points off turnovers. Yale has 9, and Penn only has 4 second chance opportunities. And the biggest story thus far, Shayna Okafor out for the second half, will not return. So Sarah McCollum will have to help out Erica Davis in the front court if Yale is going to look out to go along with the men, as Yale beat 10 men this evening.
Too unfortunate as that is.
No bad.
Hopefully it will not be a men's and women's effort this evening, as the women have a 3-point lead with 15 seconds into the start of this game.
The Quakers lead by 3 here, 16 seconds in, and McCollum goes up over Anka Popovic, and looks like the layup went halfway home and rattled back out. So
maybe one of the ghosts of the pleasure came down and knocked that one out. I don't think he's happy to hear that Penn lost to Yale and wants to do his part and helping the women win tonight in the Palestra.
Well, Joey Rhodes definitely got all 2 tennis and that's 2 there. Swish on the offensive end for Joey Rhodes.
Adding to her total already of 9 points, it puts her up to 11, well on her way to her possibly matching her performance of last night with 22 points against Brown.
And Erica Davis, good defense by Maggie Burgess, a little bit too strong. And nice pass down the court from Joey Rhodes over to Lauren Gierster. That's for a little pass over to Maggie Burgess. 1-2-3.
And that sucker hung on the rim, thought about it for a second, and then dropped it.
As Penn goes up to their biggest lead, 7 points, 37-30. A minute and a half into the game here, and Lauren Pierce, nice steal from Colburn. As Lauren Pierce, nice pass over to Monica Nolner, and there's our first foul. Nothing different that we saw as Coach Grobich wastes no time calling a timeout.
And these refs are picking up right where they left up. 23 fouls in the first half. That has got to be a record, at least in this building. I don't think I've ever seen anything like this before.
Well, if there's some elves from the North Pole, I don't know if there's internet in the North Pole or if Santa Claus is listening. Kathy Beam, Ron Clarkson, Kelly Callahan, the referees for tonight's matchup. Take them off the Christmas list. They've been quite naughty this evening, calling too many fouls. Too many fouls, indeed. Blowing up the pace of the game, firing up both coaches, and taking the teams out of the momentum. It's got to be disheartening for a team if they're, you know, getting into the flow. It's breaking up the flow of the game. And
it really is, and these teams are playing quite well. Penn with a total field goal percentage of 41.4%. Yale, not as good, 33.3%, but both teams nailing solidly from the three-point line. Yale 3-for-6 at 50%, and Penn 3-for-7 at 42.9%. So they're not lacking in their ability to score this evening. This game, as you said, they're just getting thrown out of their flow left and right as these refs have accumulated 24 fouls with 18 minutes and 43 seconds left to play in this game.
And it's always good to see for Penn the scoring for the third-party scoring. You always know Monica Nautner and Joey Rhodes are going to get their points, but it's always, where's that third scorer going to come tonight? And tonight, it's an all-around team effort. Harry Beamer, Lauren Pierce, Kelly Scott, of course, everybody getting into the action. Maggie Burgess netted 2 on the possession right before that, and now Monica Nautner is at the line to shoot 2 to try and get the lead to the largest of the evening, which it is right now at 8:38-30, 18:40 left here in the second half. Alongside with Michaela and Austin, I'm Chris Zavutis at PennAthletics.com. Thank you for joining us this evening. And Monica Nautner, 2-for-2 from the line, on that particular trip. Largest lead at 9, 39-30. Marciano with Joey Rose on her, gives it over to Colburn, kicks it out to the 40% three-point shooter Van Horn. Kind of like Heath Van Horn, three-point specialist, as Erica Davis and Maggie Burgess continue to do battle on that particular pick-and-roll play. And inside to McCollum, can't drive past Monica Naltner, and Monica Naltner, the bigger, stronger, tougher senior, comes away with the defensive rebound as Joey Rhodes flies past him. The 10 bench all stood in unison, jumping up and down as they knew what was coming from the little lefty Joey Rhodes on that particular layup. 41-30, double-digit lead for the first time this evening as Colburn, nice crossover, and there is another foul. Surprise, surprise, as Colburn will go to the line to shoot two. Foul is going to be on Maggie Burgess.
I don't know about that one. Maybe it's been a foul. I don't know if I would have called it on Maggie Burgess. I probably would have called it on Monica Meltner as she had a little bit of a body against number four, Melissa Colburn. Maggie Burgess simply was in the wrong place at the wrong time, got a solid hand on the ball, and they made the foul, bumping up to 25 on the evening.
Well, we will keep track of the fouls as always, especially on this particular evening as Colburn makes her first shot attempt as Carrie Beamer comes in to replace Maggie Burgess. And Colburn 2-for-2 from the line on that particular trip, and Ashley Carter in for Melissa Colburn. Full court fetch from the Yale Bulldogs. I never had a Bulldog.
I had a Golden Retriever. They were pretty good.
But
they shed a lot, though.
Ugly looking dogs they were, and hopefully the Quakers make them look ugly on this particular evening. The refs making everybody look ugly.
26.
Right now, racking them up.
I think I'm going to have fun with this evening, counting all these up. And I will look this up. This has to be a record at some point if it continues.
That would have been a shooting foul, but Lauren Pierce will look to inbound on the far side baseline right. And she rockets it into Monica Naltner, gives it over to Joey Rhodes, set a screen. Joey Rhodes flying, nice spin move on the baseline, kicks it out to Anka Popovich. Happy feet. We knew that was going to come, even though I watched her pivot foot. Before she made the move, I watched her pivot foot. She did not move the pivot foot.
Same exact ref every time. That is the fourth time
you've
had that call this evening.
You are on the list.
You're on the naughty list. These players need to make the adjustment.
Mark it down. If Ron Clarkson, if you own a business of some kind, do not allow Ron Clarkson to be served because he just clearly doesn't know when someone has the pivot foot on the ground. And Yale, poor hand there displayed by Erica Davis as the ball goes through her legs and Carrie Beamer's open for three. She wanted it sooner and she's very trigger happy from that particular position. And there's another foul.
27.
Oh, man, every possession reached out of fouls.
This could come to be a very interesting evening. Five fouls already, 3 minutes into the game. I'm speechless. I'm without speech.
I'm literally without speech.
I am without speech.
Chris Gobrich looking at us at press rows to see how many fouls McCollum has.
He's got four,
he's got
apparently.
Four. Not sure about that, especially with Jadeja Okafor.
Right. She should have three.
Yeah, so they will get that trained as Carrie Beamer levels the guard of Marciano on that pick and roll. It looked like she went down to the floor like Rocky Marciano in a Joe Frazier tighter flight since Joe Frazier is a Philadelphia boy. Will we pick him to be the person that knocked out Marciano there? So Alexandra Chen has it on the far side leg, gives it over to Ashley Carter. Top of the key, open for three.
Foul number 28.
This is Lomi.
$10
foul
number 11, Joey Rhodes.
Joey Rhodes. First foul, the team's third. Lomo will look to inbound right in front of us on the near sideline left. She gets it in to Marciano. 41-32, 16-20 left here in the second half. Ashley Carter swinging the elbows on Lauren Pierce, and Alexandra Chen tries to get a quick pass in the paint to Erica Davis. She says to my teammate, my bad, dog, my bad.
I'm surprised Carrie Beamer didn't draw the foul on that one. She had a good solid elbow into Erica Davis' back, kind of pushing her out of the key, but Penn prevailed on this one, and we'll stay with 27.
The coaching staff for the Bulldogs, pleading with the team to stay focused as little lefty Joey Rhodes takes it all the way to the top.
Signature left-handed layup. through the middle of everybody and anybody on the
court. Had a straight route down 95 there in the paint. 43-32, 11-point lead, 15-40 left here in the second half. Nice pressure defense by Anka Popovich. And again on Karadzima, as Erica Davis just flies through the lane. They throw a blocking foul on Joey Rose, and Joey Rose gets a very nasty look to Ron Clarkson. Ron Clarkson, you are on the list. I don't know how he can do it.
I am without speech. 7 fouls.
We need to take the whistles away from these referees tonight because they're a little...
4 minutes and 20 seconds into this game, 7 fouls. 10 is 3 away from being in the bonus. Yeah, 4 away. That brings the poll to a...
Less than 5 minutes into the second half. But it is 43-34. Penn has the lead. So things still in the favor on the scoreboard, and I guess that's all that matters right now. Penn again trying to beat 500 for the first time this season. Opened up the Ivy League season against Princeton with a loss, so we were 0-1. Now we're at 500, 2-2. And with a win tonight against Yale, we will be 3-2 in the middle of the pack of the Ivy League. Cornell stands at the top of that rank.
And if Brown bounces off of their loss this evening against Princeton, we'll put Princeton at 3-2 as well. Tying with Penn, it'll bring Yale down to 3-2 as well. This will be a nice little try spot for third place, I believe, as Cornell is currently 4-0 and Yale. No, that would be Cornell. Cornell currently 4-0. Yale as of last night was 3-1. Princeton 2-1. And Penn now has a chance of tying up with the Reds.
You didn't get the news earlier. If you just checked in to tonight's broadcast, the men, Penn men, lost to Yale men in a tight matchup. Not sure about the final score on that one, but
Didn't look so good with 9:23 left. They were down by 14.
And out of the media timeout, Erica Davis is at the line for one shot attempt to try and complete the three-point play, and she just bulldozed Joey Rose as she drove into the lane. And here comes the first attempt. Short. Lauren Pierce comes down with another defensive rebound. 43-34, 15:30 left. Marciano on Lauren Pierce, running the point for Penn. Joey Rose gets the ball on the near side right. Tries to get it down low to Naughton, nothing there. So at top of the key to Beamer. Erica Davis on her. Dribble handoff to Lauren Pierce. Far side left. Top of the key, Anka Popovich. Ashley Carter on her. Beamer, now there's a little bit of a mismatch. Mismatch. Harry Beamer on Erica Davis on her, but she's unable to exploit it.
Both teams playing extremely solid defense. Yale with a man-to-man. They're switching it up. As you said, there was quite a few mismatches. Penn did not recognize it and got a shot clock violation.
Absolutely. I think the shot clock violation is definitely a result of Harry Beamer not realizing she's got the much bigger, slower Erica Davis on her and unable to drive the lane past her, use her speed to her advantage. So Yale has the ball. Alexander Chen switches to Lulamo. Down low to Erica Davis. Unable to hit the first layup. Gets the offensive rebound and the foul call.
10 fouls on the first.
Team's fifth foul. Erica Davis goes to the line to shoot two. 43-34. 9-point lead for Penn. 14:48 left in the second half. First attempt. Line drive. The right rotation. Nothing but the bottom of the nylon. Starter Melissa Colburn, the freshman, averaging 11 points per game, checks back into the game. Erica Davis' second attempt, good as well. Yale still in that full court press. Erica Davis playing what you would call, I would say, free safety on the full court press right now on the eve of Super Bowl Sunday. And Joey Rose kicks it to the top of the key. Naughtner, near side right to Popovich. Erica Davis, a lot of contact with Beamer, but Lauren Pierce drives all the way around, kicks it out. Joey Rose for three. She's open. High arcing shot. No good. Marciano unable to get the defensive rebound. Electric Ballard throws it back into play. Lauren Pierce takes advantage and drains two.
Lauren Pierce upping her total to 8 points on the night. Quite a bit of a turnaround from yesterday. With only two on the night.
Absolutely.
She has been quite a key player in this evening on her defensive end and offensive end.
As she always is, and Colburn has it at the top of the key. Over to Marciano, over to Lulamo. Hot potato, everybody getting a touch. It has hit Chen and Davis as well. All five players getting a touch. And Gilbridge is yelling for a foul as if the ref had not called enough fouls.
And off the top of it, against three Yale players, the tallest ones on the court, 6'3", 6'2", 6'1", squeezes in between the refs on the bottom right-hand block, and somehow another finger rolls it in to bring 10 up 11 points, matching their highest lead of the evening.
He is from Romania, and I know in the NBA, players like Manu Ginobili and other foreign players are always very nifty with the footwork. I'm sure Popovich played soccer maybe when she was younger, contributing to the nifty agility and body movement.
As you said, from Romania, I believe she might be the first player from outside the United States to play for Penn, as Penn has not the women's team, some players from California, myself being one of them, some from other areas of the country, but largely the East Coast, so this is quite an addition to the Penn squad.
Something that we've seen for the first time this season, I would say, Kelly Scott and Anka Popovich in at the same time as Popovich comes away with the steal. As Anka Davis, hands like frying pans, she's unable to keep a grip on the ball. Ashley Gray bumping bodies with her, as she always likes to do, a lot of contact, and Monica Naltner takes out Colburn on the screen there, and gets it down low, wide open. Davis unable to react in time, and Lauren Spears and the rest of the Penn bench very excited about that play, as the lead is the highest as it's been all night, 13-point lead, 49-36, 12-50 left in the first half. Erica Davis gets the pass from Marciano. She was open down low, faded away. She just looks tired on
that
shot. Joey Rhodes definitely still looks tired, and goes up with the left hand, gets it in, gets the foul call, goes to the line to try and complete the three-point play. The little lefty Joey Rhodes, mighty mouse, as Michaela likes to call it. Doing it all.
She is a mighty mouse. Me and Di were talking about Joey earlier, and one of the key things she mentioned about Joey is that she has really developed into the quintessential Penn point guard. She's not very big. Ivy League schools don't tend to get very large point guards, but she's got a lot of heart, a lot of fire. Not necessarily the loudest person in the world, but she plays with, or she speaks with her actions, and she is a solid player, and that left hand is a doozy for most people, and she never gets up.
Actions do speak louder than words, and Joey Rhodes, the perfect example of that. 51-36, 15-point lead when we come back from this media timeout. Joey Rhodes will be at the line to try to shoot one and complete the three-point play. And I just find it hilarious that we've been yelling for the refs to not be so tight on calling fouls. The Yale head coach, Chris Gilbert, tells the whistles of the referees to blow the whistle and not be afraid to call the foul.
And says the refs have accumulated 32 fouls this game.
And he's very shy in blowing the whistle and calling the foul.
Erica Davis having a tough time the last couple of rounds. She came out of the 15-38 remaining play in the set. 5-for-9, not a bad percentage. In the last three plays, she has missed relatively wide open shots rattling around the backboard.
Here's Joey Rhodes at the line for one, and rattles in and out, and they're going to call a lane violation. So the only things that we haven't seen are a three-second call, a carrying violation, and other than that, I think every call...
Oh, your favorite call. An ejection. We haven't seen that.
Oh, ejection. A technical foul. We've got to see a technical foul.
Although Coach Gilbridge, if things don't go her way, might just get that for us.
Well, the lead continues to balloon up. Right now at 16 points, as Joey Rhodes did complete the three-point play with two attempts. Ashley Gray on right turnaround shot attempt, no good. Coach Knapp yelling for Anka Popovich to box down on that last particular play. I think she didn't realize that she was all alone there for the rebound. The ball goes out of bounds, and Marciano will inbound on the far side baseline. Gives it into Colburn, gets it back to Marciano. Kelly Scott on her, pump fake. After Lillimo gets the pick from Marciano. Inside to Wright. Wright kicks it out to Marciano. Shot clock winding down at 15 right now. Good defense from Penn. Chen has the ball on the near side line left. Out to Lillimo. Erica Davis is out. Maybe that's the reason that the team hasn't looked so smooth on that particular possession. But they get the best result possible as Marciano gets open and drains the three.
Coach Knapp yelling on the other sideline, stay focused, as we see Penn is in the same situation they were last night, a 13-point lead with 11 points left. They need to pull away and keep this from getting to a close game.
Ashley Gray, nice pass down low to Monica Nautner, and Coach Knapp throwing his hands in jubilation, exhilaration. He's just fired up on the sideline. He gets exactly the result he wants. Nice pass by Ashley Gray, floating it over. Chen.
Coach Knapp is not one who's shy of emotion.
And then a grad stage of emotion, and Coach Knapp just lets it all out on that last particular play to quote Anchorman. And we get the final score from the Penn men's game. Yale 1 by 9, 77-68. So hopefully the women can flipper this weekend series with Yale, as they are leading right now by 15. And we come back from this timeout. Monica Nautner will be at the line to shoot one and try to complete the beautiful three-point play.
This evening we've got quite a performance by Joey Rhodes. I believe her tally is now up to 17 points on the evening. Again, last night she had 22 points. Monica Nautner's got 11. Getting the updates right here. After Monica Nautner's now got 15 points. Joey Rhodes with 18. As usual, the team is combining for more than half of the team's points this evening. Very similar to last night. They continue playing the way they are. They can stand a chance of pulling this out.
Just amazing right here. 9 for 11, 10 in from the field in the second half, shooting 82%.
I'd imagine at least about 4 of those were layups, as they got a couple of turnovers off really good, solid defensive play.
82% from the second half. Absolutely amazing. Definitely the lead, reflects what we see on the stat sheet right here. And Yale, 22%.
That'll do it. That'll do it. Both teams seem to be kind of reflecting each other on three-point shots. 1-for-1 for Yale and 0-for-1 for Penn. Out of the first half, they were 3-for-6 and 3-for-7, respectively. So, no lacking there in three-point shots.
Monica Nautner at the line to try and complete the three-point play, and she is unable to do so, just as Joey Rhodes was unable to do so. And Marziano pushing the tempo the other way, trying to get back into this game as the Yale Bulldogs, and hopefully Penn stays focused a little bit more than they did last night, because they let the Brown Bears right back into the game as Colburn is unable to convert on that drive, and Ashley Gray comes away with the defensive rebound as Joey Rhodes commands the offense for Penn. 11 minutes left, 15-point lead for Penn. Joey Rhodes at the top of the key, driving in on Dan Horan, up with the left hand. This time she didn't get the roll, but Marziano comes away with the defensive rebound, gets it out to the sharp shooting three-point specialist Van Horn, but she did not hit that last three-point attempt. And Erica Davis looking to check back in, as she's been the only offensive performer for Yale in double figures. She's got 15 leading the way. Hanka Popovich looking to drive in on Colburn, and then here's a foul of some kind.
Looks like a little bit of a wraparound by double zero Haywood Wright, as Ashley Gray tried to get positioned in the low post. Wright kind of hooked her around with the right arm, and that puts Yale, put Penn into the bonus, I should say, with 7 fouls. It'll be a 1-1 for Ashley Gray. Oh, no, I'm sorry, 6 fouls, so they're one away from a 1-1, putting them down the baseline. Uncle Popper just looking to inbound the ball.
And she does so to Joey Rhodes. Pump fake, gives it to Monica Nautner at the top of the key. And Wright, a lot of contact, but it's a steal. They didn't call a foul. Here I am asking for fouls. And nice outside the lane. Marciana goes up with the left hand, just a running layup, and cuts into the Penn lead to 13, 54-41. 10 minutes to go. Halfway through the second half here. Kelly Scott has it on the near sideline right. Gets a strong pick from Ashley Gray. Scott taking it into the lane. Kicks it out to Joey Rhodes for three. Nothing but the bottom of the net for Joey Rhodes. Taylor Austin
smacks the table. I love that girl. She's 2-for-4 on the night. Bumping up her total to 21 points with still 9.5 minutes left to play in this game.
During the halftime interview, I hope you asked Diana Caramonico if she's worried about Joey Rhodes passing her at any particular point. But
I don't know. Diana's got about 2,400 points. She's got a ways to go.
She has to average about 60 points per game.
Exactly.
Ashley Gray stepping in. Nice defense on Colburn there. Comes away with a defensive rebound. Anka Popovich bringing the ball up with the right hand. top of the key to Monica Naltner, swings to the far side left, Joey Rhodes gets the pick from Naltner, she goes over Haywood, back down low to Naltner, up with the right hand, could have been blocked, could have been fouled, either way, Marciano comes away with the ball for Yale, top of the key, Van Horn, gets it into Davis, Ashley Gray on her, Joey Rhodes trying to pick the pocket, can't do so, that's about the fifth layup I've seen Davis miss down there. Monica Naltner taken out on the other side, but play resumes. It goes off Ashley Gray's leg.
Erica Davis having a really, really hard time finding the bottom of the net. I mean, she's found everything else, the front of the rim, the back of the rim, the box on the rim, everywhere on the background, but the bottom of the nylon. She's having a real tough time. I'm not really quite sure because she's getting some decent shots.
A little bit of a platoon substitution here. Maggie Burgess, Carrie Beamer, and Lauren Pierce all check into the game for Penn. Coach Nat gives Anka Popovich a high five on the sidelines, and well done. Thank you for your tough, focused defense.
And back down on all fours he goes to coach his players, hopefully to a victory this evening.
Absolutely. Erica Davis far away from the basket. Aggressive defense by Maggie Burgess all up in her face. And there's the foul on Kelly Scott as she just checked into the game.
And that will put Yale into 1-1 with 7 fouls on 10, bringing the total up, if I can count correctly, to 35.
Amazing.
A lot of fouls. That is a lot of fouls. If this game gets to be a close game, we could be looking at 45 plus, maybe even more.
If we get the 50 fouls, then we'll write an article to speak illustrated about
it.
But until that time, Lulamo makes one of two from the stripe. 15-point lead for Penn as the ball goes into the backcourt, and it'll be a backcourt violation.
Coach Sobrek of Yale is getting very angry, saying it should not be a backcourt, although I don't think she recognized that number four, Melissa Colburn, in going for the loose ball, touched it before it went behind the half-court line and then touched it again, which would constitute a backcourt violation.
Which it was, and Kelly Scott goes into the lane looking for contact, but the refs seem to not care so much about it on that particular play, and they give a timeout.
I was about to say, it looks like they're going to call a foul in a second.
I would say if any play warranted a foul, it might have been that one. There were three Yale Bulldogs, just very aggressive.
Attacking Kelly Scott.
Bulldogs, I guess, too. So. 8 minutes left in the second half, 57-42, Penn leading by 15, looking to improve to 8-10 overall, and 3-2 in the Ivy League, but we've got some time until that moment, and a big break, or a tough break for Yale, and I'm sure, you know, you never want to wish injury upon our opponent, Shania Okafor. Injured 5 minutes into the game. She's got ice on both ankles and she's on the court with crutches. Maybe the ice pack dripping a little bit of water. We'll see if anybody slips in that particular corner of the flushing floor as she's on the floor with ice pack.
And then she's going off. I'm taking a look at her left leg because it's only all of her weight is on that left leg. She's got some pretty solid cast there.
Absolutely. As Maggie Burgess shows the swiftness of foot and the inability to convert on the left-handed layup on the out-of-bounds play. 15-point play. Joey Rhodes trying to pick the pocket of Lulamo. Kicks it out to Wright. Wright loves that spin move. Gets it down low to Erica Davis, and she rises up over Perry Beamer. 17 points now for Erica Davis.
She finally gets one of those down low after missing about four in the last 10 minutes or so that this game has been running.
She struggled, to say the least. A lot of pressure on her shoulders. She only averages about 11 points per game, so 17 for her is a big night. As Joey Rhodes tries to...
Foul number 36. For the rest.
Well, Erica Davis, actually, this is what she's used to. She averages about 15 points, but with Shania Okafor out of the game, she's missing 11 points of the offense,
yes.
So she's trying to make up for that in every chance she gets. So 57-44. Timeout on the floor, media timeout, 7:30 left. You are tuned in to PennAthletics.com with Michaela Austin and myself. I'm Fisher Budis. Yale men defeating the Penn men and the Penn women looking for redemption here tonight.
Interesting little tidbit of information I found out during my halftime interview with Diana Caramonico, for those of you who aren't listening. I was talking to her about the historic Palestra and her experiences here, and I had mentioned that this year marks the 80th birthday of the Palestra, as it opened in 1927, January 1st, to be precise, and Guy said, hey, that's my birthday. Quite a fitting...
Is the Palestra the house that Diana built? Is that what you're trying to say?
Well, no, I wouldn't say that. But she is the all-time leading scorer, both men and women, with, I believe she said, 22,400 and change, which is, as you said, Joey Rose, an excellent player, has had a solid career, just recently broke the 1,000 points. You can put that into perspective. I believe Guy averaged about 23 to 24 points a game over the course of her entire career. Freshman to senior year.
I'm sure I read it somewhere. She's only a handful of NCAA Division I women.
She is. She's done that. Yeah, she is. So very fitting that her and the Palestra have the same birthday. Granted, quite a few years in difference, but the same birthday nonetheless.
Haywood Wright at the line, one and one.
And Haywood Wright is at the line to shoot one and one, and both teams are in the penalty. 13-point lead for Penn, 7:30 left. First end of the one and one. Hard off the back of the rim, no good. Lauren Pierce corrals the defensive rebound. Another good night for Lauren Pierce in terms of steals and rebounds and assists. She kicks it over to Joey Rose, gets a pick from Maggie Burgess. Joey Rose at the top of the key, near side right to Lauren Pierce. Top of the key, Maggie Burgess. Back over to Lauren Pierce. Dribble handoff, another pick and roll. Gives it over to Maggie Burgess. Up with the left hand, almost fell there for Maggie Burgess, who's got 5 points this evening, which is definitely above her season average of about two or 3 points per game. So Maggie having a nice night offensively, having her hands full on the defensive end with Erica Davis. Nice up and under move there. And
draws foul number 38 on the night. I'm telling you, we're getting close to 45 here.
Just 25.
Calling that side.
Third foul on Kerry Beamer.
We were talking about Lauren Pierce earlier this evening. She's got 6 points on the night, 5 assists, 6 total rebounds for a guard, which is pretty impressive. She's 2 for 2 from the free throw line. So her presence is, and 2 steals on the night. So her presence has been felt quite a lot this evening. I would definitely give her the honorable mention award for the evening if I had to at this point.
Well, let's hope that Penn gets the win first before we
Indeed.
Start dishing out player of the game, as
Indeed.
Erica Davis makes 2 for 2 from the free throw line. And it is now an 11-point lead for Penn with just under 7 minutes to go in the game. And Monica Meltner, the senior tribe captain, is about to check in as Maggie Burgess just blindsides, looks like an open ice check that I saw with Scott Stevens on Eric Lindros in the playoff with the Devils in flight.
God, don't ever remind
me
of that.
Oh, my goodness. She just took out Lillimo.
Fortunately, Lillimo still got back up.
Got the wind knocked out of her a bit. I mean, that pick,
that was something else.
I completely ignored the last offensive possession because I'm just amazed. Lillimo's still trying to get her breath. It looked like Reggie Bush when he got smashed by Sheldon Brown in the playoff game.
She was laying on the floor, rather flabbergasted at that shot. Legal pick, unfortunately, as it is, because that could definitely be some danger to a few people.
Well, with the
Joey Rose, I don't know why Coach is angry about this.
She's yelling at us for not starting the shot clock.
Joey Rose will pull off quite an amazing shot, a running hook with her left hand from about 10 feet out, nails it home.
And I'm still waiting for a technical foul because, ladies and gentlemen, Coach Chris Sobers is yelling at us on press row for not starting the clock on time. And from that last possession, as the shot clock had 5 seconds, and Joey Rose had time to throw the ball up with the shot clock going out, and she claims that the shot clock wasn't started on time. But Erica Davis is at the line to shoot two. What a turn of events. Very emotional game right now.
Joey Rose with that last amazing shot clock feeder, despite Coach Govret not thinking we started the well, we didn't do the clock. After her total of 23 points on the evening, with 22 yesterday, that's 45 points on the weekend.
Erica Davis continues her success from the free throw line. I'm going to have nightmares of Chris red face screaming at me because of that
last... Not start the clock, Chris!
My goodness. So Joey Rose bringing up the ball, gives it over Nice crossover move, taking it all by herself. She made a little audition highlight film for the Harlem Globetrotters last night. Shot clock winding down at 7. Monica Naltner at 4. And they call a foul. Haywood Wright. Monica Naltner was beyond the arc. And they call a foul.
Says I'm done. I don't understand. I'm just going to start yelling without words coming out of my mouth. That's how angry she is tonight. I believe that puts the notch up to 21 fouls, if my math is correct.
She's got to be teed up. She's not too close. So Monica Naltner, one for one, and the ref is looking at her, and she's telling her to be quiet. Tear up, ref. Tear up.
I can see it's going to come soon.
The fans are yelling at the coach to keep quiet. As Monica Naltner, 2 for 2 from the line on that particular trip to the charity strike. 13-point lead, 4-10. 5:30 left. Penn well in control of this game. Anka Popovich guarding Marciano. Joey Roach on Colburn, trying to get it into Davis. Cross court to Van Horn. No rotation on that particular knuckleball from beyond the arc.
NBA 3 hit off the back rim and rebounded by Yale.
Wright gets the offensive rebound, gives it over to Marciano, and Marciano able to hit the jump shot from the elbow. 11-point lead, 5 minutes to go for Penn. Maggie Burgess gives it over to Anka Popovich in the front court. Trying to run the offense here. Anka Popovich with the left hand, far side left to Kelly Scott. Top of the key, Monica Naltner, near side right, swings it over around the board to Joey Rose. Collision down low between Kelly Scott, and I can't see who is on the floor for Yale, but she's slow in getting up.
Their junior point guard, I'm sorry,
Stephanie Marciano.
Got a rock coming around the, got pretty nail coming around the screen. I couldn't quite tell who hit her. They're calling it on Kelly Scott.
The tension is
inches away from getting yourself thrown out of this game with technical dubs.
More fouls. This one called on Kelly Scott. 4:48 left. 11-point Penn lead. 61-50. Here comes Yale, trying to cut into this double-digit lead. I'd imagine they try to get it down low to Erica Davis, and they do. Monica Naltner, the senior on her, double team with Maggie Burgess. Marciano thinking three, drives in with the right hand, kicks it out to Van Horn. She's their best three-point shooter. Shot clock at 9, down low to Erica Davis, and there is another foul, this time on Erica Davis. Offensive foul on Maggie Burgess. Erica Davis pushed off on Maggie Burgess and got called for the foul, and Yale takes a 30-second timeout.
I think that had a very good interpretation of what was going on, and the reason why Penn is being so successful in this game defensively against a much bigger, arguably stronger Yale Bulldogs squad. They're doing a very good job of doubling down, disrupting their offensive motion, and their best player right now, Erica Davis, just can't seem to nail a bucket. Every time she gets her hands on the ball, she instantly has two Penn players in her face. Coach Knapp's doing a very good job of having his squad help out on that double team. And Erica Davis is not doing a good enough job finding the open player.
I almost don't care if Penn wins. I just want to see Coach Chrissy Gobrich get a technical foul call. I'm amazed at the tolerance of these referees.
Yes, and I want to see them break 50 fouls this evening, and they are well on their way.
If you are just tuning in, ladies and gentlemen, the story of the evening, forget about the players, it's the referees, which is never good. Referees are supposed to, when you start talking about the referees, they're not doing their job.
Exactly.
So as long as you don't notice them, you've had a good official, you know, officiating crew for this evening, but it has been anything but good this evening.
I don't think we talked about them at all yesterday.
Whistle happy. I can't believe it. And they haven't, but they're not calling a technical foul, but Maggie Burgess has the ball at the top of the key, shot clock at 9 on Popovich. Gets the screen from Maggie Burgess. She chalks it up. Doesn't hit anything but the backboard. But almost gets the steal. But they're going to say it went off top of its left. And it will be Yale ball.
Popovich doing a little bit of everything. Shooting a little from the outside. I saw her posting up on the slightly smaller Marciano down low. and just came trying to get a steal. I thought it might have gone Penn's way, but let's call it the other direction. Hopefully they're trying to appease Coach Gobrecht a little bit, as his face is a little,
I don't think
slightly better than a tomato.
Coach Gobrecht right now, but I would have to say Anka Popovich definitely has our play of the evening. He has fancy footwork looking like Manu Ginobili down low against the trees. 3 6-foot players for Yale in the front court.
Action.
But it is 4 minutes left. The final media timeout of this game, 61-50. Penn leads Yale by 11.
42 fouls. That is something else. 42 fouls on the evening. That was early tonight. Joey Rhodes, 23 points. Todd Melton with 17. They have compiled 40 of Penn's 61 points. Other contributors, Maggie Burgess with 5, Lauren Pierce with 5, 6. Anka Popovich has always got both with 2, as well as Ashley Gray and Carrie Beamer with 4. Ashley Gray, that is an interesting story. She came in at the beginning of this game and was playing pretty solid minutes. She's doing a great job on Erica Davis, and she hasn't really seen much action this second half.
Well, Carrie Beamer has done a very nice job, as well as Maggie Burgess, and I think Burgess is definitely has the body and the frame to stay in front of Erica Davis.
As Erica Davis has 21 points on the night. The next closest is Stephanie Marciano with 10, and then it drops quickly to 6, 5, 2, 3, and 3 from her supporting cast.
Well, let's see what they're running out of this particular timeout. And it's a skip pass over to Van Horn on the near side left. Marciano tossed up a 3, in and out, went halfway down and bounced out. Monica Naltner sky high for the defensive rebound. That all-important defensive rebound late in the game. Definitely don't want to be giving up the second-chance points that Penn did in the first half. Van Horn guarding Joey Rhodes. Glad to see Van Horn can breathe again after getting taken out of the game by Maggie Burgess on a particular screen a few minutes ago. And Kelly Scott, dribble handoff to Joey Rhodes. Nice bounce pass. No one wanting to shoot the ball there. Joey Rhodes had an open look. Kelly Scott had an open look. Maggie Burgess right underneath the basket. Kicks it out to Anka Popovich. But a foul is called.
A foul?
Wait,
who was the foul
called? A foul was called.
On me.
What's the total here?
Oh, I lost track.
Anka Popovich at the line to shoot 1-1.
44. 44 fouls.
Off the right side of the rim, no good. Nice play there by Monica Naltner.
Number 45,
Erica Davis goes flying into the stands.
A little bit of acting there, I think, on Erica Davis' part. I think she's getting a little bit irritated by the calls here. And I'm just, once again, I am speechless and without speech all at the same time. We have reached 45 fouls on the evening. Both teams are in double double. Yale is one foul away from double double. Penn has been in double double for about the last 10 minutes.
Well, Erica Davis continuing her parade to the free throw line. These will attempt 12 and 13, as will be in the aforementioned Ashley Gray checked in for Maggie Burgess. So Erica Davis, 9 for 11 on the evening. Here is her 12th free throw attempt. Goes around the rim. No good, but this is not a 1-1, as Ashley Gray, as well as myself, thought it was.
This is a double bonus, yes, that is true.
So Lauren Pierce looking to check in for Anka Popovich.
22 free throws for Yale, and they are 16 for 22, not bad.
And still waiting for the technical foul.
3 minutes left. Will it happen, Chris? I don't know.
I really hope it does. And 0 for 2 on probably the two most crucial free throws. And a foul. Oh my.
Oh my lord.
Well, I mean, last night, it was amazing. The Brown Bears turned 49 seconds into 5 good minutes.
Well, I believe these refs are going to turn 3 minutes into about 15 with both teams in double bonus.
3 minutes remaining in the game. 11-point lead for Penn, 61-50. So he rose at the line, 4-2. No good. And the clock keeps ticking
or
in real time.
Not really.
Not in the game. Not in the game
time. Stuck at 3:07.
Time literally standing still, and as Erica Davis missed 2 on her trip to the free throw line, so does Joey Rhodes, with Marciano weaving through the defenders out to Colburn. On the near side left, Jack steps on Kelly Scott, looking to drive. Spin move. Goes up with the right hand. Nice move there. Strong hands by Ashley Gray to pull in that defensive rebound. 2:47. The clock is moving.
Crystal Colburn kind of had a nice move there, but had to go with her right hand on the left, which that hurt her as she had a defensive force by Ashley Gray.
A little bit of five fingers there by Kelly Scott. Goes into the backcourt, and it will be Yale ball.
Kelly Scott having a little bit of a rough evening tonight. She's had a couple offensive fouls, a couple of slugs with the ball, and just added another one.
Well, the ball goes into the backcourt off the out-of-bounds play there, and Marciano drives in with the left hand, fakes a little hesitation move, floater with the right hand, nice hesitation, catching the Penn defenders standing still, so it is a single-digit lead finally for Penn, or for Yale, rather, as they still remain at arm's length as McCollum looks to check back in for Yale with 2 minutes remaining. Penn up by 9. Ashley Gray has it down low. Goes off her foot. 2 consecutive turnovers for Penn. This can't be good. Let's see what happens on this very pivotal possession right here. If Yale is able to score, I'd imagine Coach Knapp calls a timeout, but he doesn't, as Marciano scores. 7-point lead, 61-54. Monica Naltner bringing up the ball. 1:45 left. 61-54, 7-point lead. And there's the timeout that I talked about. Had to do it.
Run a little time off the clock, get the ball over the half court so you don't have to deal with a full court press. That was a good call.
Absolutely. Needed that timeout as Yale scores on 3 straight possessions, cutting this lead to 7. Closest it's been, I'd say probably since the 11th minute mark in the second half.
Yeah, not only scoring on 3 straight possessions, but Penn turning the ball over on 3 straight possessions, frankly, that 10 times back. That isn't a momentum swinger, and I don't know what is, but Coach Knapp makes a good call all the time. That was 1-4-3 left, trying to keep things, as you say, within arm's length, only within arm's length.
A combined 35 free throw attempts this game. I think last night against Brown, we had a combined 8.
I think you're right.
So
another update on the personal foul total.
Talking about the referees is never a good thing. And now
42, I believe it's that. I think they're at 44.
An update on the injured.
Injured number 32, Sinead
Okafor,
is still.
She's in a boot right now on her right foot.
Oh.
And the foul is called.
I think
no
every time there's a break, it's either up and another foul is called.
And just to make sure that the whistles still work. This could be it. This could be it. This could be the technical foul that I've been waiting for happening right in front of us. Marciano and Coach Gobridge both giving Ron Clarkson an earful. Here it is. Here it is. McKaylin.
Nope.
Oh, they walked away. Why
oh
did
my
walk
gosh.
Away? Oh, I was so anticipating this.
So how happy as these refs are, they do not want to tee up Coach
Gobridge,
even though she asked for it at least half a dozen times.
I definitely think there's a direct correlation between the ratings of women Ivy League college basketball and technical fouls. If they call more technical fouls, more people will show up to the games and tune in on PennAthletics.com. And if you aren't tuned in to PennAthletics.com, McKaylin and myself, we thank you for joining us this evening. We love having you here. Lauren Pierce, 1-for-2 from that particular trip to the free throw line. 8-point lead for Penn, 62-54, 1:30 left here in the second half. Colburn driving in with the left hand, and the foul's called.
Monica Naltner.
I think we are over 50.
We're getting close. I need
Kelly Scott is out of the game. Kelly Scott gets called for her 5th foul. And she will check out of the game. And Caitlin Slover will check in.
Not the best night for Kelly Scott, unfortunately. She's 1-for-4.
That's an amazing career night. Last night, 3-for-5 from 3-point range off the bench.
One rebound.
Difference maker last night.
Yes, definitely.
Colburn at the line to shoot 2. First attempt, nothing but the bottom of the net there. 7-point lead. She makes this free throw, be the closest Yale's been since the first half, but she's unable to do so, and a foul's called.
No time ticking off the clock.
No time ticking off the clock. Absolutely no time.
I would like to see a stat sheet right this moment, because I believe we did break into the 50th foul mark on the night.
I am amazed. I can never stop being amazed at how many fouls have been called this evening.
I've never seen anything like this before.
Amazing. 62-55, 7-point lead. Ashley Gray, we're just walking the court.
Yeah, we're
No inbounding. We're just starting ends for free throw lines. Ashley Gray's first attempt is good. 8-point lead, 63-55. Minute 33. And second attempt, no good. Thankfully, Caitlin Silver does not reach in.
Almost
did that. And Colburn driving with the right hand this time. Crossover on Monica Naltner, taking it all the way to the rack, no good. Ball up, Joey Rhodes comes out of the pack with it, and she's just running in circles, avoiding defenders and her own teammates, finding space. Monica Naltner, nice move to get past right there into the front court, trying to get some time out, and an intentional foul on this particular moment.
Coach Gilbert is extremely angry, as she said, foul right away. They wasted 30 seconds off. Well, throw up 25 seconds off the clock. And then came with an 8-point lead. That was not a good move.
Well, with an 8-point lead, I think what Coach Gilbert was saying on that particular outburst that we just saw in front of us is she was telling Melissa Colburn to get it to the shooter, which I believe was Jamie Van Horn, the three-point specialist, to try and cut into the lead. That's got to be a lane violation on Colburn, but Ashley Gray makes both free throws, so she's shooting a nice percentage from the free throw line, as she always does. 10-point lead, a minute to go here, and a foul call.
Surprise, surprise. We are well into the 50s at this point. Well into the 50s on foul.
I'm not going to say anything. 65-55, a minute to go. Colburn at the line to shoot two. She makes the first.
Anybody out there is listening and has any goals of being...
If you're out there listening...
Do not listen to Kathy Cronenbeam, Ron Clarkson, or Kelly Callahan right now.
But if you are out there, please Google all-time record for how many fouls in a game. And I would like to know if we set a record, because there's another foul at half court right in front of us.
Number 73, Caitlin Littlemo.
5 seconds ticked off the clock. And we're going to the free throw line. Lauren Pierce, but we're over 60. Gotta be over 60 now.
Maybe not quite. I think we're around 54.
Google the record for how many fouls in any basketball game. Little League, NBA, WNBA.
Guys, if we keep going on this track, which is all too certainly likely, there may be more total fouls than Penn total or than Yale total points on the night.
Absolutely. 57.3 seconds to go. Lauren Pierce makes both free throws. Penn very happy in this huddle, feeling that they're turned a corner in this very important momentum shifting game.
It's a hard game to analyze when you're trying to figure out what the teams are running, and you're so distracted by whether or not Coach Gilbert will get a technical foul, how many total fouls there are on the night. This has been an interesting night, to say the least.
Definitely a night that we will remember. Diana Caramonico's halftime interview, and Ron Clarkson, a name I will not be soon to forget.
He
does go to bed with his whistle. He loves his whistle. He can't get enough of his whistle.
Yes, he does. I believe he's probably called about 40% of the fouls this evening.
It's in his mouth right now. I mean, Yale, there's no pressure from Penn, and the whistle is in his mouth. All the referees' mouth. They're just waiting. He's very anxious to blow the whistle.
Somebody called them in and told them, you need 3 more fouls and you'll make the Guinness Book of Records.
Well, the ball goes off the foot of Joey Rhodes. It will remain Yale ball. 48.2 seconds remaining. 10-point lead, 67-57. Penn leads Yale. Littlemo gets a strong pick from Alexandra Chen. Takes it all the way baseline. Kicks it out to Haywood Wright for three. A little unorthodox three-point attempt there. Thankfully, Yale is not intentionally fouling. Oh! Spoke too soon.
They do. Haywood Wright picks up her fifth personal foul. She is out of the game. Will be joined with her other teammate, who also fouled out of this game. Yeah, but there's many fouls there have been this game. There's only two people who fouled out. That's pretty surprising.
I was going to say, I wonder how many girls have four and three for that matter, though.
Oh, boy.
So we're going to the line again.
Well,
volunteers.
There's volunteer there. There are quite a few. You've got one, two, three, four girls from both teams with four fouls, and one, two, three, four, five, six girls with
and
three fouls.
And that was 3 minutes
that
ago.
That was 3 minutes ago, yes. Before two
so
of them
the numbers have exponentially increased from that moment. Vaughn Pierce goes one for two from the free throw line on that attempt. 11-point lead for Penn, 68-57, 30 seconds to go. Six, 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 six. The clock going down. Monica Nolner intercepts that pass. Shot clock is unstarred. Hopefully, we can get it into the front court. Joey Rhodes can get it into the front court, that is. And Penn can win this game. They better get into the front court. They're going to get called for backcourt by a call for holding the ball in the backcourt too long.
Well, with women's basketball, they don't have the 10-second call because the shot clock is shorter than men. 30 seconds with men is 35, so they have the 10-second shot clock.
Duly noted. Interesting to note. 11 seconds to go. Penn on the verge of victory right here. 68-57. Not sure what the refs are talking about right now.
How many fouls do we have? How many more do we
How
need?
How many
to
more
call?
Till the Guinness Book of World Records comes and puts our name in the record book for the most fouls in any basketball game?
He is
of
talking
any
to the statistician. Perhaps that is what he's asking.
So 11 seconds. Lauren Pierce going to inbound. Thankfully, inbounding the ball wasn't an issue tonight as it was last night against Brown. But
and another foul.
Seconds to go
in the game. Ashley Curtis, that was Monica Nolner. Coach Beveridge is just no idea. I don't know if you can't technical fouls over with 6.2 seconds. Although, call it out to the evening's total, I might put it to 6.
If you call a foul with an 11-point lead with 6 seconds to go, they're not coming back in the game. Monica Nolner at the line to shoot two, but
Coach Govich, though, is yelling at the ref, why call a foul? She needs to be yelling at her player, Haywood Wright, why foul? But
so,
there was a foul.
Monica Nolner drains two, just to add to the final score, 70-57, 3 seconds. Lurimo just content in holding onto the ball. Penn comes away with the victory, improving to 7-10 on the season. Well, 8-10 on the season, rather.
On the season, 3-2
and 8. The weekend game. Very happy as I see the smiles on the faces of the 10 players right now. Very pleased with their performance.
Very happy right
8-10 overall. 3-2. First time this season that they are above 500 in Ivy League play. The Yale Bulldogs going the exact opposite direction as they fall to 10-10 as they were 10-8. I was losing both games.
Now, right?
Right. I think they're 3-3.
3-3. Do they have one more game? They might.
Yes, they are 3-3 in the Ivy League. Yes, so.
This is a great position for Penn to be in, where Cornell 4-1, Yale 3-3, Princeton, depending on whether or not they lost tonight, might be tied with Penn. This is a very good position to be with. More than half the games to play, they still have yet to play against Cornell and Yale, or Cornell, who is atop the Ivy League right now.
Well, to look ahead to Penn's schedule, they go to Dartmouth, they go to Harvard, so they've got two tough weekend road trips coming up. Dartmouth and Harvard next weekend, and then the following weekend, Columbia and Cornell. Never a fun road trip, as you explained to me last night. So, tough. But we've been road warriors, the Penn Quakers have been. So, final score again, 70-57, 13-point lead. McKaylin, any thoughts on the player of the game for the season?
Player of the game, as far as Penn is concerned, would be the ref. They gave them quite a few things in their favor, although, no. And I'll say this, I probably have to give it to Joey Rose. I don't have the final stat sheet in front of me, but I believe she tallied 23 points. And if I had to give an honorable mention, of course, to Monica Nolner, always doing well, but I would definitely give it to Joey Rose. I'm sorry, to Vaughn Pierce with eight total rebounds, six total points, six assists, and a few steals as well.
Well, Erica Davis, obviously the player of the game for Yale. She has 9 for 13 from the free throw line, 6 for 14 from the field, 21 or so total points, but to emphasize again the story of the evening, other than Okafor's injury, which was game-changing, obviously. I'm sure the game would have been a lot closer. It might have even gone in Yale's behalf if Okafor could have stayed healthy. But Kathy Beam, Ron Clarkson, Kelly Callahan, the referees for this evening, I'm going to go back to my dorm, check into Google, and see if they set a record tonight for the most fouls in any kind of basketball game. ever. Since they put the peach baskets up.
I would say, at least in women's basketball,
with the skin basketball.
It is quite possible that the total fouls on the night, Yale scored 57 points. I would not be surprised if Williams at the stat sheet. I would not be at all surprised if Yale equaled the amount of fouls, or the amount of fouls between the two teams equaled Yale's total.
More fouls than Yale's total of 57 points, but the Yale 10 weekend matchup split 1-1. The women win for Penn. The men drop to Yale this evening as well. As Michaela gets to look over the stat sheet a bit, I want to thank everybody for joining us again as we see how many fouls there were. A total of
53
fouls.
Oh, no, I'm sorry. Wait a minute. That's the full point. 53
fouls. 4 shy of matching Yale's total points.
That is, once again, I'm super.
29 free throw attempts for Penn, 27 for Yale. More than we've seen by far all season, but I'm not sure when we will join you again, so this is the last time we join you for Ivy League action from the Palestra this year. I'm sure I speak for Michaela and myself in thanking you for joining us at PennAthletics.com. As we sign off from the Palestra, good night to you all.
Good night and good luck.